Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Good morning, here we are, it's running commentary but we're not running, though it's a bit special today, isn't it?
It's a very special day, Paul.
Yeah, because we're doing a question and answer.
Yeah, we haven't done one of these for ages. I think we've done it twice before, which, you know, all our many years isn't that often.
No.
And it's always good to, you know, there's always new questions and also good ways to revise some of the important stuff.
Yes, and it's nice to, and it means we get to sit in Woodbury wetlands.
Yes.
Without getting moved
actually,
on.
Actually, I meant to say sitting here isn't allowed. And podcasting.
Too late.
Actually, we probably aren't allowed to record here, so let's stop talking about that. Let's keep it quiet. We're fine, by the way. There's no injury. It's the recorders. You might have noticed in recent weeks they've been in a little bit of... and now they're in the shop. And by in the shop, I mean I need to buy some. So they're in the shop.
Right, they're waiting for us. And also you coming up, you described yourself as coming off an enormo run yesterday.
I did do an enormo run yesterday.
I've never heard that expression, enormo.
Oh, well, let's
a good one.
Let's normalise it. Let's normalise enormo. Enormo run, yeah. I went out yesterday. You know, we were talking last week. We've got to crack on with these Q's and indeed A's.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was saying last week about feeling bad because I didn't start my week's mileage till Tuesday.
Right.
I suddenly thought, well, you know, in terms of doing a high mileage week, if I'm just worried about it for me, for my body, then you can put that 7 days anywhere. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Of course you can.
So I got to the end of last week was a fairly sort of normal week to park run on Saturday, 31 miles.
Yeah.
And I thought, I'll go for a long run on Sunday. I thought, no, don't even need to do it on Sunday. Do it on Monday.
Of course, yeah, of course.
So I went out yesterday. It took me ages to get out for all kinds of reasons. And then, but I did what I had planned, which was a run to Springfield Park.
Right.
Five times up and down the hill.
Like it.
Run through Hackney Marshes all across London to Primrose Hill.
Wow.
Five times up and down Primrose Hill.
Wow.
20 miles, two hill rep sessions.
Wow. Crazy.
And I felt fine, went home, did my exercises,
That's
did my
amazing.
Plank, did my
That's
yoga
amazing.
This
yeah.
morning.
Could, yeah.
Yeah. Everything hurts and I feel sick.
Amazing, though. That's amazing.
Have you had a, have
That's
you had
incredible.
A good
yeah.
running week?
That's incredible. Yeah, I've done about 20, 25 miles. I mean, I've just been feeling quite swift with it. It's been nice, yeah.
Good.
It
is strangely nice, and we hope you go with us on this, dear listener, to not be running, but not that isn't because we can't walk.
Yeah.
One more little thing that I've got to tell you from this week. I was just reviewing my parkrun results and looking at finding out how about the guy who overtook me at the finish line and all this stuff. So I went to the main race results from Highbury Field on Saturday and all that information went out the window. Guy in front of me, good guy, I was sort of had a bit of a, you know, tear up is the phrase.
Yes.
Anyway, me and him, and he came in a second in front of me, good on him.
Yeah.
I was distracted by the fact that the guy who came in a second behind me never looked back. I don't know what he looked like.
Yeah.
His name was Robert Deering.
You're joking.
No. and honestly, it's like, I didn't even look back. I don't know who this person is. And at first,
That's
I thought,
so funny.
It's just
That's
like
so
a
funny.
It's some like a technical thing. They've
John
run
Malkovich
me through twice.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's not. It's just some completely different guy with the same name as me.
So you've got to reach out. You've got to get an image of him. You have to.
I know. Yeah. And if I turn around and it's actually me, Malkovich. Maybe it's me 15 years ago.
That's so funny.
Oh, my Lord. So that was that's
yeah,
a weird
that's
week.
Hilarious. There's another Deering out there.
There's a Deering. There's more of us.
Morning, my pie. Yeah.
Two for joy. Oh, look, there we go. There's a heron.
Oh, it is nicer. You know, it's nicer because I don't let people run. That's why it's so nice.
And the good thing is that we don't sulk about it.
No.
It is amazing bird-wise this morning. It's like he doesn't want to do the questions. I heard a wren. I was walking up here, and I didn't know it was a wren. I just heard a bird, like, singing so loud, going, like that. And I had a little look, and it's this tiny wren. And they're so brilliant. I remember my daughter saying, a couple of years ago now, when we used to have a wren in the garden, she said, that little bird is all lung.
Yeah.
She's not
That's
wrong.
That's beautiful, isn't it?
You know what, this bun going...
Just to emphasise how... I've got a strange relationship with this place. You know when you go and get a coffee there?
Yeah.
It's sort of... It's not quite clear where you get the coffee and where you pay. So, well, it sort of is, but it sort of isn't. So I just wandered right through the paying area to where they make the coffee.
And into, like, the kitchen?
Yeah, basically into
Did
the
you
kitchen.
Start making
it's
sandwiches?
Like, it's like I just completely crossed the border, sweating in my running stuff. They were so disturbed. I thought, he's running, and now he's nicking all the coffee. But anyway, we got through it in the end. Let's do these questions. And
all right, the question, Q&A. Okay, let's improvise the theme tune. Q's and A's, Q's and A's.
It's questions and
answers. Q's and A's, questions and answers.
Questions and answers. Do you want to go first?
Okay, I'll go first. Here on Instagram, I've got a Pat O'Flatty. Yes. And he wants to know why you never wear a hat.
Good question.
Sometimes you wear a hat.
Very, very rare will I wear. I don't know, you know. I think because normally... When I used to run a lot, I used to wear a bobble hat, and it just makes your head too sweaty. Your head soon warms up. It's just so hard to get it right, isn't it? I mean, I suppose people sometimes wear a cap in the summer, don't they?
I was going to say there's kind of something somewhere between your running personality and your actual personality is for you. It has to be extreme.
Yes,
your hat's the conditions that call for a hat, for example, very, very cold or doing the Race of the Stones are extreme.
And then
once you wear the hat, it will tend to be more of a conversation starter than a simple bit of kit.
Something functional. But I mean, I used to love a bobble hat. I used to love that going out in a bobble. But yeah.
Well, and the thing is, it's ironic because he's saying, why don't you ever wear a hat? But if you ever do wear a hat, I have to deal with comments for days and days.
He never wears a hat.
Look at him in his bobble.
He never wears a hat.
But also... I don't think
he never wears a hat.
I find it strange that people wear... I mean, let's not dig too hard into dear listeners or whatever, but you and I both still have fairly full heads of hair for our age.
Yes.
And so maybe we don't quite relate. Yeah. Well, I would never wear a hat for warmth, except when it's super cold.
No, you're right. When you've got hair like us, I mean, you don't need a hat. Good
no,
point.
I mean, right now, we're sitting here looking like status quo. But is that it? You know, people wear light, sensible hats. Like, people wear, like, a buff and then wear it on their head.
Yeah.
I never wear a hat for warmth like that.
No.
I wear a cap to keep the rain out of my eyes. Yes. Yes, I would do that.
Yes.
No one asked about my hat.
He never wears a hat.
So, you go. What's that? There you go, Pat. Hope that helps.
Yes.
On we go.
Here we go. Here's four questions in one. Underpants or commando? Water
I can't
or
believe you went to... I've set this all up and you've gone straight to page two. He's picking and choosing.
Underpants or commando, water or electrolyte drink, gels or chews, hills or flat. Patrick McHugh.
All right, Patrick, we're going to do this. Hand this to me. Right, Patrick you have
McHugh,
to answer straight off the cuff, right? Underpants or commando?
Underpants.
Underpants. Water or electrolyte drink?
Water.
Okay, gels or chews?
Chews.
Hills or flat?
Flat.
Okay, ask me.
Underpants or commando?
Underpants, trunks, not commando. It's going to change.
Water or electrolyte drink?
Water, yeah. Yes, although I will take a salt pill every now and again.
Gels or chews?
Is the chew quite... I think neither really, but chews for preference.
Yeah, gels tend to make you a bit sick.
A bit nauseous, aren't they?
Hills or flat?
Both.
I mean, you like both, don't you? One loves both. I mean,
sometimes you want to kind of pull them apart for dynamism. Like I say, I did hills, towpath hills yesterday.
Yes.
And that was good, but definitely both.
Yeah. Oh, no, they're absolutely glorious. I mean, commando, it's the chafing, isn't it? You never go commando.
No, it's the same. We're getting near sort of personal areas, but it's just the same as shoes and no socks. It's disastrous.
Yes.
You're going to be in difficulties within minutes.
Yes. Why invite the chafe? Yeah.
I suppose if you're wearing something that's got sort of snug trunks built in, I sometimes feel like I'm slightly overdoing it.
Right.
I've got new shorts with a kind of inner now. They're nice.
Yes.
And that is technically pants, but then you're wearing your shorts as pants.
Yeah. I like to wear
that's not very nice.
Jock strap. Trunks, strap-on nappy.
Good. He calls it a strappy. It looks really nice. To be fair, you are right now wearing trousers then shorts. Yes. Like, kind of like a superhero. And someone gave me a hard time for that on the online the other day. What's he wearing on his legs?
Why isn't Paul in a hat?
All right, let's go. We've had an Instagram, we've had a Twitter one. Let's go to Facebook. Okay, this one is it's a question for me.
Yeah, go on.
What's one vegan recipe that I couldn't live without?
Couldn't live without.
This is interesting. I mean, I think...
Couldn't live without.
Why one? I mean, it's just whatever it is, you're going to be bored with it after a week, aren't you? But having said that, I think the family favourite is just a good, proper vegan pasta pesto. But your best vegan recipes I've found recently, and don't get me wrong, I don't want to denigrate my skills.
Yeah.
I can do some good cooking. I can work... I know my way around a vegetable. But the really best ones... the ones that everyone really loves, the ones that really lean into the things you can get these days. So we do a really good vegan burger night with Linda McCartney burgers and This Isn't Bacon bacon and Via Life smoked cheddar on top.
Yeah.
And there's a macaroni cheese, really good recipe, simple recipe.
Yeah.
And this pasta pesto with Sackler vegan pesto and Via Life, different Via Life cheese. A lot of people don't like your vegan cheese and they still do the Via Life original in the supermarket. It's fine. It's incredibly dull. We never have that. Go after the mature, go after the sweet cheese, kill pigeons and eat them. As a vegan, that doesn't worry me at all.
They really
went for it, didn't they? They were like, you should be eating us.
I do a really
is the Deering pasta pesto.
I do a really nice vegan bolognese with like minced beef and stuff.
Mm. It says here, Steve on Twitter says...
Here we go. We'll do a food.
Get straight to it.
You've done food, I'll do a quick food.
Yeah, do it.
Paul has a signature dish of chicken chorizo and chickpea stew. Me too. I wonder if his gets the same derision on the family WhatsApp as mine does. No! Please, anything else but...
That's right, I forgot that. He said, oh, why doesn't Paul give us the recipe? And now I remember that you were saying it's because your family said it tasted of nothing.
What's his recipe? I like to chicken potato, greens, fry the chorizo and cherry or red wine. I'll fry the chorizo, chili, onions in olive oil for a while, sort of sweat it off. Meanwhile, I'm browning the chicken, and then I'll just shove it all together with some tomatoes and chickpea and a bit of salt and how is it? Seasoned to taste.
What seasoning do you go for?
Seasoned to taste. Don't know, some green
some of those
stuff.
Little bits that are in the cupboard, shove them in.
Cinnamon.
Sometimes a bit of paprika actually goes down well with that, but season to taste. Mm. And I find the longer I take with it, the better it is. But it's still, no one likes it. So it's better the next day. All my food is always better the next day.
Steve's, to be fair, if you're cooking with tomatoes, that's a chemical thing.
Is it really? Oh,
if you cook and then cool your tomatoes, they taste really nice, and that's partly because they're releasing their lycopene, which is also good for you.
Yeah,
so the next time you really enjoy a slice of leftover pizza the next day, know that your body is telling you it's quite a reasonable message.
I thought it was so they had a day, like psychologically, to get their head around the fact that they're having the chicken.
Yeah, there is that. Okay, I can face it. I've had 16 hours. Yeah.
And then the papas,
can I just say, Steve, for listeners' reference, uses a bit of a sherry or red wine.
He fries the
at the cooking down stage, I suppose. When I'm using booze, for me, it would be in a risotto.
Yes.
Before you get the liquor in, you get some, depending on what kind of risotto it is, something red or white, like a bit of white wine, red wine, vermouth, get it over your kind of onion or garlic or rice, and then cook it really hot for a couple of minutes so that the alcohol burns off. That's delicious.
Nice. Yeah, that is nice.
That's good stuff.
Well, I'm a bit uncomfortable about burning off alcohol as opposed to guzzling it.
It's just a waste of it.
And Papa's spaghetti bolognese. It's basically every bloke who can't cook has a spaghetti bolognese recipe. I suppose the thing I do differently is I put some milk in it.
Just in case there are any vegans you tricked with the meat.
Yeah.
Made of beef and milk.
So when it gets to the mince pies, I put some milk in it to milk it up. I basically follow Marcella Hazan's classic spaghetti bolognese.
Who's that? Sorry, I was talking over you.
Marcella Hazan. He's a sort of classic Italian.
It's quite a deep discussion, isn't it? Because it's been a little bit Neapolitanized over the time. So people tend to go sort of onions and stuff, and people say a real spag bol's got like carrots in it. Has yours got carrots?
Yeah, mine's got carrots in it. I go quite rustic or quite peasant. I put bits of bacon in it, a bit of chicken, maybe some liver in it as
bacon,
well.
Bacon, chicken, milk, beef, liver, and he also goes out into a farmyard and shows it to animals and gives them to V's.
But that's the vegan one. That's the vegan bowl.
Good. Well, someone said, is it pronounced? And let's, where's, I've got this written down somewhere. Is it pronounced vegan or vegan? Yeah, now, written down that just vegan or vegan. Yeah. So that's that one answered. Who we've said that? Oh, Russ. There you go. I think that was a facetious question. I think Russ knew what he was doing.
You say facetious.
Okay, what else?
I say facetious. Any advice? This is a bit of a serious one, bless him. Matt Cormack. Any advice on getting back into running after long absence, COVID injury? Having always been fit and done lots of races, I'm struggling with being slower now and lost my mojo.
I think there's two things about this.
Yeah, that is two-tier question, that, isn't it?
Yeah, and I think in recent years, you probably have more direct experience of this. So let me highfalutin myself for psychological stuff, and then you can talk about it on the ground. I think there's two things here. I think one, we really have to remember when we run a lot, and people quite often ask about losing their mojo, is sometimes running isn't as much fun as it is at other times, short-term and long-term. Mm. And I think you have to remember that we probably edit that out slightly in retrospect.
Yes.
And that because we like running, we look back and think, well, I always like running.
Yes.
But I think also in this case, obviously it's harder for someone like Matt who's really coming back. And then this is easier said than done, but it's still worth saying. It's just a question of, there is no past. You know, the thing is that chances are you'll get back to a fantastic level of fitness, but there's no rushing it. And the key thing is to enjoy your run.
This run
that you're doing now, that's the great running. And if it's slower, then you might have to embrace different running. Say you used to run super fast and just, it might be time to run listening to a podcast, say.
Yes.
or music or something. And the thing is that your fitness, my money says, will come back, but not if you go out and think, I want my fitness to come back, I wish I was running like I used to. You won't enjoy your running. You've got to enjoy the journey. You've got to respect the run you're on.
Yes.
And let it come over time. And I know that's easier said than done, but that is the basic principle, is there is no past.
And the
future's too far away to worry about it. So do whatever it takes to be in the now.
Yeah, there is that thing of like, you've sort of got to let go of your version of yourself and embrace the new one, and if that happens to be slower, then it's just slower, and that's okay. Do you know, you've just got to rather than pressing your window against the past constantly try to get back, you've just got to embrace where you are. And this mojo thing's interesting. It's just like, if that's an urge to race or something, maybe just embrace that phase as well. Because to be honest, I'm not that bothered about racing at the moment. I'm really enjoying my running. I'll always enjoy my running, but I'm not really motivated by racing. And that's okay as well, because running just gives you so many things, irregardless of whether you're
running.
Racing,
running's
the key, isn't it?
And running is beautiful. You know, if you go for a run and it's not a beautiful run, you have to ask yourself, I'm not talking about blame here, but I'm just saying, what can I change about the run? Could I go somewhere I'd rather be? I can set, as I say, that's a little blue tit, land on that thread next to those reeds.
Yeah.
I'm not running, obviously.
But this
would be a lovely, you're not allowed to. But go somewhere lovely, do something different, go with a friend, mix it up.
And also,
the other thing is that slowing down and speeding back up again, much more mechanically, it's incredibly good for your running. And if you're someone who's an impatient, if you were incredible before, or you thought, or you kind of like were quite a competitive with yourself runner. I mean, I was never competitive. I've never done like athletics or racing against other people. But when I started running, I ran so fast all the time.
Yeah.
Just like leathering it to get out, get round and get back home. And it's only since lockdown that I've run long and slow. And I'm much stronger now. And I'm not as fast.
Yeah, but you're almost as fast.
Well, that's another question.
You know, you're almost as fast whilst getting older. It's quite unusual.
You're on quite an unusual trajectory. But you've just got to see where it takes you, because that's the other thing, is that the fundamental thing with the future is if you can just do your head in waiting around for it. You know, in the event, the future generally will turn up what you wanted, but by the time it turns up, it's unrecognisable.
Yeah, this idea here of like, he says, I'm struggling with being slower. It's just like, just don't struggle with it.
Forgive yourself.
Yeah, just be a bit slower and then speed up near the end. After half an hour, you feel better or whatever. Just don't struggle with that. Just enjoy the act of running.
Find ways to enjoy running slow.
Yeah,
it is. It's like a gamble. It is, because it's very easy to do. If it sounds like we're criticising where you're at, Matt,
not
at all.
Because we've all done it.
It's so easy to beat yourself over the head. It's like Gamble says, that sense that, you know, don't be too strict with yourself, because we're all looking for a hard time to give ourselves, and then it doesn't help.
Just be where you're at
in terms of
the phase that you're in.
And if you need something, if you feel better, think, I need that deadline, I need that finish line, great. But if you don't, let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be one with the wind and sky. Let it go.
And good luck. And coming back from injury is always strange as well, because he says he'd come back from COVID and injury. So you've got to be gradual. Your body's changed.
It's a long
changed.
Game.
Things
yeah.
have happened.
A yeah. couple of people good like that, Patrick, we were just answering his question. Nicola, who's got COVID, but you know, he did the Yorkshire Marathon with me and got really fit, got some PBs. Mm. Just, you really, the first thought is take your time. Take the time off. If you get to the point where you can't bear taking time off and you feel absolutely great, great, that means you've taken enough time off, but you can really set yourself back. I did that once.
Yeah.
The whole, when I had my cracked rib and I thought, I'll go out for a run, I feel fine.
Yeah.
I'm just too early. I knocked myself back a month or two.
Just come
back
too early, yeah.
This question is relevant, so let's jump straight to that. Dave Pollard says, is Paul going to attempt the MDS?
No.
That's that one answered. Yeah. Okay, let's go for another. Here's another one for you.
Because I don't want to die.
He doesn't want to die.
I don't want to die.
Paul, says Anne Parker.
Yes.
You mentioned about church gigs a while back. How does she find out about those? Are you doing any more of those? Or was it a kind of nativity
They tend to happen around Christmas.
If you were doing them this December, where could people find out about them?
They tend to be... Paul Carenza runs them, doesn't he?
Is there a name for the night or anything like that?
I think it's called Comedians and Carols.
Okay,
I think you'd be Googling Comedians and Carols, yes.
And then if you look at Paul Carenza and maybe Tony Vino as well.
Yes, yes.
They both run gigs across the UK. Likely that are sometimes they run sort of everything from sort of family friendly gigs to church gigs adult grown up gigs in sort of art centres and stuff,
they're really it's a really nice contrast and good fun to play at Christmas certainly. So
we'll keep an eye if we see any club names that feel relevant to that question, and keep an ear out in future weeks if we see, because I can't remember what Tony Vino's clubs are called,
right? Okay.
But and Paul's,
I think they're Just For Laughs,
so we'll look out for them, Just For Laughs sometimes. Look at those.
So do we go back to Facebook, Instagram?
Let's see what's happening on Instagram.
We're mixing and matching the...
Okay, this is a great question from Paula Rich.
Yeah.
Where in the world would you like to run and why?
Where in the world would you like to run and why? That's a good one, isn't it?
Here. I'd like to run around Woodbury Wetlands. We're not allowed. Have we mentioned it?
That's quite ironic, isn't it? We're in the one place in the UK we're not allowed to run. We're getting asked that question.
thought we'd enjoy sitting here not running.
He wants to run. As well as the answer to that one is, I don't really know because I haven't been there yet. It's sort of, if you run wherever you are, it's great, isn't it? Wherever you go on holiday, you go for a run, don't you? So I went to Canada last year, had some lovely runs, went to Morocco running in the Atlas Mountains, you know, went to LA, you know, Santa Monica Beach. Wherever you go on holiday, you go for runs.
Yeah.
We go to Italy this year, I'll be running in Italy.
It's in their nature, isn't it? Maybe it's, this really might just be us, but I think you're the same as me. We see things they'll never see. Yeah. We're more likely to want to run somewhere we've either been before, even if it's quite unusual, or somewhere where the situation will be quite familiar to us. You know, having said that, one that's just jumped into my mind, it's like, yeah, but you'd like to run through Monument Valley like Forrest Gump.
Yes,
but the thing is, I also know, I think, yeah, but that's probably just a really long stretch of hot, dusty road.
Yes, yeah.
But there's places that I feel familiar with that I'd like to run again. I have a fantastic run in Luxembourg once. That was wonderful. An unusual European city with a bit of gradient, where you can do that kind of medieval and nature-y tourism and really see
I
the place.
I love that exploratory nature ones. I had some really... I'm going back to Bergen in a couple of weeks, and I ran around up into the mountains around Bergen.
Up the steps.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that's one of the best runs anywhere.
Yeah, that's a great
one. Bergen's superb. Oslo is in my book, running in... Is it Oslo or Stockholm? It's Oslo. I was running, and that was incredible.
Yeah.
And because that's that combination of familiar. If you go to somewhere like Norway or Luxembourg, I just didn't know it was on a hill, so I was excited.
Yeah.
But it is like, again, you've got that kind of framework of somewhere you know, like running in London or Edinburgh or Birmingham, but in this exciting new place, you know? And that's why I would love to run in, I'd like to run a lot more in the Lake District, and I'd also like to run the Highlands. I'd like to go back to the North York Moors as well.
Yeah, North Yorkshire Moors is great. I love running around there. When I get to see my dad, I run around Osmotherley, and it's absolutely glorious.
We did it once, so long ago. It's
quite bleak and confrontational, but beautiful at the same time when you get right up on the top there. I like those moments when you're all alone and there's no one else around and it's really hailing and it's windy. There's something just wonderful about that.
Yeah,
you know?
I think there's something also in terms of like being a bit, not scaredy, but a bit unimaginative about running places I haven't been before. It's the one thing is that I do love walking up and down mountains, and I love running up and down mountains too, but with distance running, you can have a slightly different relationship with moors and hills.
Yeah.
You know, just to really get it wide open.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
it's
yeah.
sort of, in this psychological way we're talking about, it sort of lets go of the finish line, of the end point, in a way that's very hard to do anywhere where you're like on a road or
even
a kind of towpath. Mm. You're still trying to get to the next thing. But out there in the Yorkshire Dales or in the North Yorkshire Moors, or I'm assuming in Scotland, or on like a long ridge, maybe down on Exmoor, these are places I sort of know but haven't run. And I'd like that. And any places like that around the world that we haven't been. But you know where I don't want to run?
Where?
You know those videos where they're like running along the top of a cliff and you can just see
I don't want to do that.
I don't do that. But how do they do that? Why are they doing that? Stop doing that.
Having said that about the sort of thirst for really new places, so there's a joy in the familiar, isn't there? There's nothing more I like than just sort of spinning around Highgate Woods for an hour and I know it back to front. And I know every sort of crevice of it and you can just switch off and just spin around.
Let go in it.
And even
still
today,
lovely.
Just running here, which I haven't done for a while, I really enjoyed it again. I haven't done it for a couple of months.
Yes.
It's just nice, isn't it? It's nice
and
to mix it up.
And maybe as long-term city dwellers, there's that magic, which maybe people in the country take for granted, but I always feel it in the country too. Is that sense that if you go somewhere outside, it will always be fresh.
Yes,
you can't come to a place like this, or Highgate Wood, or Hampstead Heath, or anywhere, the Lake District, and think, seen it.
Yeah.
It would just never happen. Like any day of the week, you're going to see something new.
Yes, and also you're new. It's like that scene in Sideways where she's talking about the bottle of wine and every day you open it, the bottle's different. Every day you go for a run, you're a little bit different. Your running's different. You've just got to embrace that, haven't you?
Yeah. And I'm not drinking any Merlot.
I will not drink Merlot. I'm not doing hill reps.
So thank you, Paul. A good question. And apologies, everyone, if we just said places we'd already been. Of course. Yeah, Barcelona. Can't wait. Don't know what it'd be like. But having said that, that's the wonderful thing. It's like going to new park runs, just going to new places. It really tends to be good. Yeah. Even when it's tough, like I had such an adventure running in the heat with nowhere to go in Hong Kong. It was still amazing to see.
Oh, Hong Kong.
It's a funny story.
Hong Kong's great running in Hong Kong.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is a nice one here.
Yep.
But it's not a nice one, it's just a quick one. I've just snapped my tibia in two places.
That's not a nice one. That's no, it's a not very a nice bad one.
It's, not a, it's really Trigger not warning. A nice one. This is from John Joe Carter.
Sorry, John.
So I'd love some well wishes and some advice for rehab once I'm able to put weight on my leg again. Well, first off is good luck with that. Sorry to hear it. And that's it, really. Just want to send out well wishes to you.
Yeah.
It sounds awful.
Yeah, I will say it will take time. Yes. One assumes quite a lot of time.
Yes.
And then it will be better.
Yeah, and you know, it will take rehab and doing
patient.
All the exercises.
Don't go
and doing
back
all the things
until
that
you
say.
Can go back. Yeah. And then if you feel confident when you go back, you have to remember that assuming you do all that, you do it right and get to that point, then it becomes psychologically. It's not broken anymore.
If
I run now, this is a terrible reference, really lame because I haven't broken my leg. But every now and again, conditions will be such that I'll get a bit sore where my cracked rib used to be. Mm. And the thing I sometimes tell myself, have to tell myself is there's no cracked rib there. That's scarring. Yes. That's an old story.
Yeah.
But you, obviously that isn't relevant to you at this point, John Joe. You've got to get better first. Yeah, and this is
give your body
question.
Time to recover as well. As you get older, I mean,
this is something. Yeah. I mean, if you're as old as us, yeah. it's going to take 6 to 8 years. Yeah. No, I'm joking. That's too soon to joke. But sorry. Lots of love to you. That's awful to snap. Yeah. I mean, you just
sending
your
best wishes.
Stuart Patterson. It was. I can't quote the question directly because I think that Stuart's feelings on the matter were quite clear. But he was saying, people say seek medical help, but surely it's okay to ask for advice. And of course, it's so important. The more serious something is, the more important it is to get advice from professionals.
Yes,
It is very difficult in this day and age to get medical help, but you need it. But of course, the point Stuart was making was community consultation is also really valid. I mean, a lot of runners have had interesting experiences. This is more relevant to like things like things that everyone gets, like shin splints and plantar.
Is there a question with Stuart?
Stuff.
What's he?
Was saying it was a question, but it was really quite a long rant.
Oh, okay,
it was a rant, Stuart.
Oh, okay, cool.
So
Stuart.
I felt like Stuart, someone said Stuart. Stuart they really should speak to a doctor. It's like, what about talking to everyone? You can't get doctors on the phone. And he's right.
Yeah.
But I think the answer is it's all true. You have to be sensible about seeing doctors, seeking medical advice, taking for example, every now and again we come up against this at the running show the other day. I said I just took one salt pill and that lasted all day, and someone there who knew what they were talking about said, well, that's a terrible idea.
Yeah.
That's why you were feeling sick. So, oh, I see. I know nothing. Yeah. But
there's that kind of folk wisdom that comes from the collective consciousness of runners. And there is some validity to
and
that.
Somewhere
some
in the middle.
That people know, yeah.
And
yeah,
Googling's
you just know because you do it.
You know, there's some terrible information on the internet.
Oh, yeah,
there's some really useful information on the internet. So take your pinch of salt in one big pill in the morning.
Yeah, and that's it. And that's all you'll need.
Yep.
Morning. This is Colin Wallace. Morning, folks. Do you believe that carbon-plated shoes are worth the money for a middle-aged mid-pack runner? I would need some really good reasons to persuade Mrs. Wally that I do actually need them. This is one that we've all got to answer at some point, haven't we? Mm-hmm. To what extent do we... They're obviously useful. They obviously make you fast.
Yeah, the technology...
I can see the attraction.
The short answer is the technology works. It is not snake oil. You'll have... You know, but it's also quite short-termist. I find it easiest to invest in special shoes for an event.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
Because you're going to wear them out, and then you go, well, that's that 250 quid.
I must say, it's slightly... Obviously, I mean, the question is, are they worth the money? It depends how much money you've got and how much you want to spend on them.
Yeah.
And that's a personal thing. Not me, but it does great with me when people suddenly get, like, big jumps in PBs because I've got these shoes. It doesn't annoy. They need to rework the records because all the records are getting broken at world class level as well.
It's
a trickle down thing. It's something that's sort of a little bit out of control at the moment. But I can absolutely see why runners would do it because we all just want to run fast.
Now, and that comes back to the technology being good because they make you run fast in a nice way.
Right. That 4 foot thing.
They help you use the muscles in your legs really well.
Yes, yeah.
So it unlevels the playing field and they cost a mint.
Yeah.
And ultimately it's your choice. And ultimately,
why
and the
not
other
let
thing
the
is,
richest run fastest? Isn't that how society should operate?
That's how society does operate. But I'll tell you what else, and this is, I'm honestly, this is just an issue for me with my OCD. I don't mind about it. The other thing I have a fear of is, and it's totally valid, we need to talk about it, and I think about it as much as anyone, but it's getting into an open-ended conversation about shoes that lasts for the rest of my life. I still want them to be utilitarian. Do you know what I mean? I want to buy them and forget about them.
Yeah.
And it's such a danger because it's kit that you get into what have you got. And the other thing is, because there's no right answer. They still, no matter how fancy they are, there's still different brands work better for different people. And then you get into different events.
Do you think we'll reach the stage of a pattern and say, could all the rich people just come to the front, please? All the rich.
There is one. Okay.
Who here's richest? Yes! Round of applause.
Since we've cracked the shoe thing, which I often have... What are they? They've got called Krieger or something. My trail shoes that I got for the race today are amazing. Wearing them again in Yorkshire the other day, I was reminded of how gently they just don't feel like trail shoes. They feel light and normal. And it's only when you think about it, you realise what they're doing.
Yes.
And that's a really good pair of shoes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And here, Scott Conroy says, and we'd normally sort of skip over this because I'm like, oh, no shoes, not shoes.
Yeah.
But Scott says, what shoes are you running in at the minute? So let's talk.
These
what you
ones.
Got?
I don't quite know what they are. Astras, are they called Astras?
I think it's Ultra. ALTRA.
Yeah, ALTRA, yeah. And I like
By?
Them. They're
is
nice.
That the brand or is that the...
That's...
As a nation claps its hands to its forehead.
Actually, I did. I hasten to add, I have bought these because I used them last time. I've just bought the same sort of pair again. Mm-hmm. Let me work out what they are. They are ultras. Yeah, they are made in Vietnam.
Great.
And they're blue. Yeah, Torin Ultras.
They're blue. Well, she's eating them. Blue ones. I'm wearing the blue ones. Oh, nice. I've got...
They're nice. They're great. I'm really loving them.
Nike Pegasus at the moment. And I got into them, the Pegasus 36. And I think they're up to 39 now.
Right.
And as being the man I am, they're good and everything. But the fact that they keep changing it just bothers me. I'd have replaced those 36.
Well, they've changed these. I mean, the shoes are constantly changing.
They are. And I think that this year I'm going to cave and I might put some money into a pair of really high-end marathon Nike trainers and then only use them for my marathons.
Yeah.
And even then, if I do 3 marathons in them, they'll probably be worn out, won't they? But I might do it.
I think it's...
It's just taken me 5 years to accept that.
No, but I think it's worth it. If you're training hard and you're getting into the territory of marginal gains and wanting to, you know... Spend a couple of £100 on some great shoes. Why not?
Yeah,
I mean, you're saving money on, like... booze and Daddy, all the other stuff you could be doing.
Daddy, what's for dinner tonight? No dinner tonight, darling.
I'm training!
Thank you, Daddy.
it's boring chicken. Yeah. I'm joining the 200 minutes club.
It's okay, 8 days.
Dad. Thank you, Daddy.
You liked it a bit the second day. It's 18 days old now. Yeah. Probably love it.
It's vegan. Jules, friend of the show.
Jules Daliel.
Yeah. Jules Daliel.
Daliel. Just lose the Z.
My recent spate of injuries has dragged me kicking and screaming into the gym for strength and conditioning training.
That's bad luck, Jules. We have our sympathy and we also miss your woodland selfies.
Yes. Great selfies. Great smile. Great guy. Rob's exercises and yoga seem to be injuries at bay. Do you both stretch before and after every run? Or do you leave it to chance like most runners? I tend to stretch sort of a lot when I'm not running nowadays. Not a lot, but just sort of continuously in the weak areas.
You dabble.
That's what I do. I'm sort of constantly dabbling, but I don't do it as focused as you do. I mean, you're...
I am in a kind of third phase. I mean, we've talked about this before. I got my first half marathon left me unable to walk and think I might need to go to hospital. And that's when I thought... I should stretch. Then I got into my stretching, and me being me, I created a kind of regimen that I really stick to. And I also bolted it to a load of other exercises to make it more powerful and more interesting.
Right.
And I've been doing that for years now. I should probably, a good exercise person, a good trainer would say, well, mix it up, do something different. But I don't. That's not
my
nature.
Can you, just for me, I'm sure there probably is a difference, but the difference between regimen and regime. I say regime, though. You say regimen. Is it some sort of Latin thing?
I'd say regime is like if you're a despotic leader of a faraway country, whereas a regimen is like a list.
Right, okay, but there's still
the same.
Some
it's
kind of self-tyrannical. It's interesting, isn't it, that sort of linguistic.
Well, I'll cut the end.
No, fine. I like it. I like that. I mean, that's not a big issue.
No, we're probably off the point. But yeah, so I do all those exercises, I mention all that because I have done it very steady with it.
But they obviously
work. Yeah, I think it's true. And I think going back to the last question, the other thing I always say, despite the expense and everything, is people starting out running or worrying about injuries, that I think your first weapon against injury is good shoes.
Yeah.
Because they don't just look after your feet, they look after your legs.
I absolutely agree, yeah.
And they've got to be good for you. So don't take a recommendation to buy those. You've got to get on the treadmill, you've got to get the gait analysis.
Yeah.
You've got to take as much advice as you can and then also trust your instincts.
And people do that. People love to do that. Like you go to like Runner's Need in Camden and they love to get you on the old treadmill. Ooh. It's sort of almost standard practice now, isn't it?
It's
a thing that a lot of shops do.
And some of them are black wrought iron. Some of them have the number for the house set into the middle. Yeah. Some of them are a bit shonky and they're not really keeping the cows in the field. That's the kind of gait analysis you're going to get. It's a gait analysis joke. But the last thing about this thing about me stretching is... I think if you run a lot, you can trust to a certain amount of warmth. I think that what I do is I stretch regularly and a lot. So let's put a pin in that. There's no way you could say I don't stretch.
Yeah.
I do a good, solid, just the stretching is about half an hour, and I do that at least three times a week.
That's amazing.
But I don't stretch before I run.
Right, okay.
I don't necessarily stretch straight after I run.
Right.
So I feel like what I'm working on, it's a bit like a different take on your sort of occasional stretching, is that if you're running 30 miles plus a week, you can assume you're kind of warmed up, and then do your stretching when it suits you.
Yeah.
And make sure you do your stretching. Some people would really benefit from a bath. I'm not really a bath person, but if you want to have a bath and do your stretching the next morning or something like that, it's going to work. As long as you stay loose and limber, don't worry about the time frame. And you can stretch too soon after a run as well.
Yeah.
When you feel yourself start stiffening up, generally about half an hour after a heavy run, that's when to stretch.
Yeah.
And also, it's what you do. It's not just not stretching. It's what you do instead. If you run a long way and then get in a car, drive for an hour, or do anything sitting
recipe
down.
Recipe for disaster.
You bend your legs that way.
Yeah.
You're in big trouble. See, I don't do much sitting down in my life.
But when you're sitting down, because I do a lot of sitting down and writing. I mean, I try and get up every hour for like 5-10 minutes, do a little bit of stretching there.
I know, I should be writing. All right, all right.
But if you find yourself stiffening up in the... No, I'm not going to make that joke.
Yeah. Right, okay. I almost saw it coming before you even said.
Okay, Newcastle United on Manchester United on Sunday. I support Manchester United. I think they are going to win. Where's Paul watching the game? I'm watching it at home on the television. It's a big game at Wembley this weekend, so yes.
Yeah. Or as Paul just said to my ears.
United!
They're both called United?
Yes, I know. But there's only one United. What is your go-to breakfast before a marathon?
I'll take this one first, Paul.
On.
Thanks for asking.
That's from David Irwin. Thank you, David.
Because I hardly ever eat breakfast before a run.
No.
Including a long run, which I'm not recommending this. Don't try this at home.
It's good training, though, isn't it?
Yeah. One, I'm really good. I'm regular faster.
Mm.
And B... one and B, I just did it. I'm so ashamed.
Yeah, yeah.
And two, I have obviously got like this sort of low metabolism, low heart rate kind of deal where slow release things work well. And like, if I don't eat, I'm not hungry. You know what I mean? It's quite a slow machine. But when I'm doing a marathon, I then, because like you say, it's good training. I ate during my 20 yesterday. Got to lunchtime, I had a little malt loaf.
Nice.
But anyway.
Ate during your run?
Yeah.
Wow.
Ultra experience.
I didn't realise you'd actually gone out for a meal.
It wasn't a meal. It's a teeny tiny meal.
Incredible session yesterday.
I have to say, it
took
ages
incredible.
Took
That's
ages
incredible.
To get service.
Yeah.
Excuse me, I'm in the middle of a run. Can you bring my malt loaf to go? yes, sir, and you smell. The other diners are asking questions.
You need a bath.
can you give us the tie back when you leave? But on marathon day, I have a muesli, nice fruity muesli. Mm. So I'm getting oats and the milk and the fruit. And you're like, you're vegan, Rob. Mm. That's right. Soya milk in a... I put it in a jam jar to about... This generally because I'm taking it off to another city. And about inch short of the top, cover it in milk. And then the next day, it's like birch muesli. It gets really fruity and thick.
Nice,
so it's like
nice.
Cold porridge, which is meant to sound nice.
Yeah,
and
that is
I might have that with a banana and a bit of orange juice. And coffee, a couple of cups of coffee. No more than usual.
Yeah.
But I always drink two or three coffees in the morning. And if I'm doing the marathon, I'll probably just make sure I get those because it's generally on an earlier schedule.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And enough water. Not stupid amounts of water, but a good, you know, try and get a good, I would say, 750 mils to a litre of water. Mm. Just 500 to 750, actually.
Yeah,
and then make sure you can get water when you're out and about. There's no point in sloshing around.
No, absolutely not.
Stay
hydrated. Absolutely not. I think that's one of those things people can obsess about. I'm like you, really. Just malt loaf and maybe a banana, like 2.5 hours before or whatever. Just nothing. And then a bit carb loading the day's... leading up to it.
There's some other questions about this. I'm going to try and find them while we're on the subject. Mm. Lucy Cook says, what's the best pre and post run food for early morning runs? And the answer for me is, it would literally be neither.
Yeah.
And I'm totally used to not having breakfast before I run. And this is, this dates back to, you know, again, don't copy me if it doesn't work for you, for goodness sake. It dates back to, you know, I started running to try and keep my weight down after losing weight, a lot of weight quickly, and so on and so forth. It's my journey, it's my story. Don't even worry about it. And that's how I found this kind of low metabolism thing. But really, A, I don't feel hungry before I run. B, when I run, it makes me less hungry. Like if I'm doing my 16:8 and I'm just working at home, I'm really hungry for lunch.
Mm.
If I go out, see you, go for a run and go back, I'm much less hungry for lunch.
Yes.
So answer, best pre and post run food for early morning runs would be none. But then I'm not very good at early morning runs. My body's not really ready for it.
I mean, I'm like you. I don't like to eat before a run. Part of that's just because there's just no time for it. If we go for a run at like 10, then I won't eat before.
Yeah.
And it just it is that sort of, I suppose, getting a bit mindful about trying to keep weight down and sort of 16:8 and all that kind of palaver, sort of fasting and stuff. Just feels a bit nicer.
Then going hard and run. This is a thing I have with me and my wife. She'll come to marathon, she'll look after me, and she's very good at being, you know, because I'm terrible at being. Suggestions at any given time.
Yeah.
She knows this. She knows it about me. And when I'm really down, blood sugar's really low, if it's been a tough marathon, I might be like feeling really ill. You've seen me in this state. Mm. And I'm like, no, don't want anything.
Yeah.
And she'll constantly rotate the small suggestions until I start nibbling something.
Yes.
And sure enough, before too long, like say an hour after a London marathon, then yes, I'll eat a plate of pasta.
Yes.
But half an hour afterwards, and your body really needs something, it's got to be the right thing for me. Maybe it depends what your body's calling for. Half a banana or a banana, a few salty nuts, a fizzy, sugary drink is really good.
Your body's recovering from shock, basically.
You've been in shock.
You're in trauma.
Yeah, you've asked self-induced it to, trauma. To yeah, that's right. And you've asked it to behave in a completely different way. So if you slam back, I mean, there's quite a lot of questions about this, and they're about, like, I don't know. I just think that we're both naturally distance runners, and as such, it just puts you a bit further away from the idea of food.
Yeah.
But also, that means that we're kind of loping. You know, if you go out there and hammer it really hard, and you come in and you want and your body's saying,
"Hammer time,
give me a big sausage baguette," then blimmin', eat the baguette.
And I will do that.
The only answer is listen to your body. Really.
I think I'm in a sort of, you know, binge famine cycle with food and booze and everything, really. I won't drink for like 5 days.
That's a really good point. And again, you don't copy us.
No, that's no good.
We're pretty much, we're all or nothing on everything, from watching TV programs to being comedians.
Part of that's just the comedians. Like at the weekend, I did 4 gigs on Saturday night in Liverpool, and on the way back there, you're just hungry. So you just eat a sandwich and some crisps at like 11:30 at night. I wouldn't normally do that. You just end up in those strange cycles.
But then you've got to.
And I've got to drive 3 hours. Yeah.
Yesterday, I ate a lot of food when I finished that run because I finished that run in Sainsbury's getting some stuff we needed. So while I was there, I got myself a couple of sandwiches and a sausage roll, and I ate them. So not that much of a monk.
Yes.
But then this morning. I was really hungry, and I think I was saying to myself, "Listen to your body, have some breakfast." And it was like, "No, I'll wait till lunchtime." But I didn't feel very well on it. So it just goes to show we're pretty, we're quite odd guys.
Let's have a look at this. What have we got here?
I had one. There's another question from Lucy. Well, because she said best pre and post run food for early morning runs. She also said anything. This is because I feel bad that I've kind of slammed that one down a bit. But this is kind of the same. How to improve breath work and breathing tactics. I don't want to think about breathing when I'm running.
No,
just don't want to think about it.
No, I don't. No, it's funny. I sometimes find myself sort of almost chewing like a train, though. I don't know why.
I think maybe it's an instinctive controlling thing.
I don't know
remember
what's
that when
going
I was
on.
First running
That's when I'm running slowly.
I knew I was tired because I'd get to a bit and just kind of catch myself doing a big kind of healthful sigh.
Yes.
But generally, I really worry about obsessing about it, so I listen to music to drown it out.
Yeah.
And I know that when I'm running, when someone else, there's another question here, we should find it, but it doesn't matter, we'll try and answer it and then we'll find it. It's about how do we talk when we run? And I think you'll agree with this, is we just run in such a way that the talking comes. So if you're, I think there is a temptation. That is something we've drifted into, and maybe we had to find it, and maybe we do have quite complementary paces. Because I run with other people. I was running with Eleanor the other day, and you both said, "Oh, we're going a bit fast. I'm going a bit fast," and both getting a bit out of breath. So it does happen.
Yes.
But really, you just it has to come naturally. It's very hard to make a decision. If you find yourself going a bit fast, if in doubt, slow down.
Yeah, I mean, I never get to the stage now where I'm sort of, very rarely, unless I'm racing, get to the stage where you're getting out of breath unless you're specifically training. And when I'm just running at pace, I just don't think it. I don't think about the breathing.
I do. Sometimes, if I'm running a park run, I'm running as fast as I can, which in turn is a complicated version of running as fast as I can. Mm. We're not running flat out. Is that sort of sense of running, what's the phrase, at threshold?
Yes, yeah. Then, which is great training.
Then I will be sweating and breathing and all those things that people who do exercise do.
Yeah.
But that is when, you know, I really, this is, I just feel like every question just reveals how insane we are. But it's that's where I really need and use music.
Mm.
And specifically, sometimes I think, oh, I think I'm getting really tired now. And the other voice in my head has to say, no, Rob, it's just a quiet bit in the song. It's just a gap between songs. you're breathing exactly as hard as you were 30 seconds ago.
Yes.
It's just that you were successfully distracting yourself then, and now it's caught your attention.
Of course, lung capacity does decrease with age as well. Mm. Something to think about. As we run on. But yeah, I mean, the vast majority of my training is aerobic.
Mm.
And so, yeah, it's good to...
And it's nice
to run. Keep breathing.
I like to run.
Keep up with it.
I think part of being healthy is running without breaking a sweat. But you have to be trained up for that. That's not something to say, oh, I'll see if I can do that today.
No.
You've just got to find it over time.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I like a good sweat on, but that's probably because I'm not that fit. I like to get a couple of layers on and really sweat it out.
And it is to do with conditions as well. You know, if you run really slow on a cold day, then and stop and start and stuff, then you can get in and think, wow, okay, but it will never happen in summer. But it's all part of that thing, mixing it up. Rob does this, but it took me years to become as dynamic a runner as I am now. Literally years. I just used to run, and now it's all quite compartmentalized. This is the one. It was Georgie. I'm always so impressed with how clearly you both speak whilst running. Even when I try and slow down, I struggle to have a conversation. What kind of pace, minutes per mile, do you typically run?
It's pretty slow. I mean, 11 minutes a mile, 10, 11 minutes.
I'm basically running, in general, talking to people, the fastest would be about 10 and a half minutes and down to about 13, even 15 minutes, particularly if you're kind of running and walking a bit.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fine. And I would say, Georgie, I think that it's different strokes for different folks, but the trick is start with the talking and let the running fit the talking.
Yes.
Yeah. Don't run and then think, I'll try and fit some talking in with this running.
Yes.
Start chatting, and when your running is disturbing your chatting, change the running.
That was a big training movement in the sort of LSD, long, slow running, LSD
is no good
long,
for running.
Long, slow distance, yeah. LSR. just the vast majority of really long, slow chatting and then like, you know, 10% speed work or whatever. It's the basis of most of my training and an awful lot of people's running. And it's just like, it's a deep pleasure in life to run and chat with people, isn't it?
Yeah,
and that's why we're doing this podcast, because we went for a run, we enjoyed the chat, and the longer you run, the better the chat gets. And it's really joyful.
That's right. You know. It's historical and it's spiritual. I think you're so right to mention it. And thank you, dear listeners, for all your listening, because that's the whole idea, is that we go long and see where it takes us. Mm. And hopefully we can do that today. But if you're running and you run for an hour chatting, then you're going to get to somewhere that you just wouldn't have got to.
Absolutely.
If you just sit and chat.
Yeah.
And I also think this is something I've said with the running and talking. I think that we are, trust that you'll be able to do it at some point, because we're evolved to do it. Said it before and I'll say it again. You can't do other stuff. You can't sing. You can't laugh. You can't decide to do different breathing. You can't hold your breath. But I think that as humans, there is long distance running is in our deep kind of primal nature.
Yes.
You should be able to find down there somewhere an ability to kind of maintain it as a neutral while you chat. And that's worth trying to find, because it's great for your fitness.
Yeah. And if our, you know, 11-minute miles is your 15, 16-minute miles, then don't worry about it. It's fine. Absolutely.
And this
fine.
Totally ties in. It's a different fine, thing, you know? But this totally ties in with that running and walking. Mm. That thing about coming back from an injury. Running and walking, it's so important to let that happen. And that's one that I had to learn.
Yeah.
I remember when I first did my long training run for a marathon, I had to stop to cross a road at about 15 miles. Mm. I was like, oh no, I'll never start again. Whereas when you're doing an ultra, is able to say, you get to that thing where you stop and then start again, and it's so good for your psychology to be able to do that.
Yeah, it becomes more of a journey, doesn't it, between two places.
Exactly.
Yes.
Here's a quick question. Any chance of BBC or Sky, etc., commissioning a Tonkinson and Deering running stroke lifestyle series in a similar vein to the Mortimer and Whitehouse gun fishing series? Our superior intellect and similar north-south divide would be very entertaining TV. So is there any chance of that? No, there isn't. Sorry, Clive.
Thank you, Clive.
We don't
see
that happening.
Thank you, Clive. Start the petition. That's all we can say.
Write to your MP and we'll see what happens.
Get a drone.
Yeah.
We need to buy a drone.
You want a drone? I can do you a drone. If you'd like a drone, here's a drone.
Do you clean your running shoes after every run? Or is that just
no?
Me? That's just you, Stuart Strath.
Who keeps a toothbrush to do it specially.
Yes.
Hey, what? Go for your life, Stuart, whatever you want to do.
Begs the question, what do you clean your teeth with? With my shoes!
Shoes are so lovely, have you seen his teeth?
My shoes come off and then I clean them with my toothbrush, and then I clean my teeth with my shoes!
My question would be, what are you planning to do next with your shoes? I mean, they're just going to get dirty.
Do you have a favourite post-race wine, cocktail, beer? No, I don't associate the end of running with alcohol. So obviously, I like my alcohol, but I don't associate the end of running with alcohol.
No. I think that the generally this attachment of food to the... I think we're probably very good at rewarding ourselves with food and drink, so fair enough. But I think with me and Paul, there's just a separateness to it. We're very lucky to be able to run when we do.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, so it's
yeah.
not so tied in with the weekends. It's not so tied in with early mornings. For us, a run is a mid-morning towards the middle of the day thing.
Yeah.
Whereas, and then... like everyone else, drinking is an evening or weekend thing.
Yeah.
So they're just slightly separated out. Having said that, I am a sucker for any kind of fizzy drink. So everything from fizzy water to Coca-Cola to alcohol-free beer to actual beer. I remember, we've talked about it before, but when I was doing that marathon training and I got to where we'd recorded the cider advert.
Right,
and I thought, and I'd done about 17 miles, and I thought, I'd love a pint of cider now. It's like, no, you wouldn't.
Yeah.
That would be disastrous. Can you? Oh, sorry, I was going to show you a wren, but it's gone.
I mean, for me, just a big pint of orange and lemonade post-race is just absolute perfection.
God, that glass of orange juice that those people in New York gave me. They were from heaven.
Nectar.
Absolute nectar. And I was I was really crook. And they were like, we've got some, Dad, give this English guy some orange juice.
Thank it's something you. To help you as you kind of segue you back to reality, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? It's just a little... Yeah, it's lovely. Yeah, but don't associate that with booze.
Okay, now, there's loads more questions, so we've got to make sure. We made a note of which ones we'd answer, didn't we?
Yes.
Okay, well, we're going to come back
and
answer some more. So this is coming towards the end of part one of this year, 2023.
Questions Q&A. And answers.
Questions!
You've got questions, we've got the answers.
Hit us with a Q, we'll give you an A. We'll answer them today. Okay, but first, before we go, we lost some PBs due to the aforementioned shonky recorders. Specifically, people who'd actually emailed and got in touch, and then they probably listened to last week's PBs and thought, why wasn't that?
That's what you
want
to do, and it really let people down and
reached
out personally.
That's
what we pride ourselves on.
We like to let people down.
Yeah.
So
let's make that right.
Let's go.
Let's make it right.
We're starting with Simon, who did the London Winter 10K. London. And yes, it was a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, London Winter 10K. He raised lots of money for cancer research.
Yes.
And he did it in 63 minutes and 25 seconds.
That's
well done,
very
Simon.
Very good time. Andrew Birch did the Wrexham Half at a lick.
Yeah, that's great. 85 minutes, 43 seconds. Well done, Birchie. Fantastic
nice,
run.
Nice work. Adam Duggan also did the London Winter Run. And this is Adam, who currently is training for the London Marathon, I think, by running to Regent's Park and going around the Central Circle over and over again, which
nice.
Is a mindset which is not available to all of us because he is quite
he's
a machine.
He's very fast. Yeah, 37 minutes and 14 for the 10K. Well done, mate.
Either he's incredibly fast
Dougie.
Or he did it in a car.
Well
that's
done,
incredible.
Dougie.
Ray Clayton did the Skegness 10K.
In 37 minutes and 6 seconds.
Another stupendously fast 10K. Well, if
we're
looking
sharp.
At stupendously
well
fast
done,
10Ks,
well done.
Let's look at Pete Fenn, who did the run through at Aintree. Is that where they did the Grand National? That's an interesting one. It must be a nice course.
Yeah.
I shouldn't think they did Beecher's Brook, though, because that would slow you right down.
Some runners didn't make it to bring
the green tent on.
No, come on.
In our
we're
little
have to
cluster
down.
Of... ridiculous.
It's just a hamstring.
It's just aching a bit.
No.
Get the green tent out. No! Pete did the run through 10K in 35
minutes and
38
seconds.
Seconds.
Well done, Pete. These are fast people. Really,
but that's what's wonderful. Don't be thrown off because all the PBs are so wonderful. That's what's great. It depends on your run.
Can I say that's what's great about the running community, running commentary community? The range of speeds and paces.
Beautiful
and
range.
Attitudes.
And
yes.
Attitudes.
Yes, different kinds of people running and here different we go. Kinds of races with different kinds of faces.
Emailed me about 8 weeks ago now and almost Gavin Sumter.
Back in 2019.
Really hope this is working. Gavin Sumter did the Southampton Common Park Run. He's probably done it, broken this PB again since then. But this was
date.
A huge PB because he was he thought, I might get under 25 today. And his previous PB was somewhere around 26 minutes, 24, 28.
Well done, Gavin.
90 seconds off.
Well done, mate. Well played.
We'll be back with more questions and answers next week.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.